Bibles tonight, let's run over to our 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, and we're picking up where we left off at on Sunday. We're going through King David's series, amen. I do hope that it's been helping you, encouraging you, in whatever way that God has decided for to do just that. We'll go to 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, of 1 Samuel, and we'll read verse 38. Once you get there, let's all stand. We'll read, pray, and ask God for his help tonight. That's 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 38. The Bible says this. We'll read verse 37 first. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these. It ain't gonna work, for I've not proved them." And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. We're going to talk tonight on this little thought, approved weapons. Approved weapons. Father, I pray tonight for your divine help. I pray, God, for your guidance. I pray, God, you're filled with the Spirit of God. And I pray, God, if there's anything between you and I that will hinder you from using my vessel, I pray, God, you scrub me down real good and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Guide my actions, my tongue, my speech, all that I say and all that I do. I pray, God, you will be the great orchestrator. I pray, Master God, you feed us from the Word of God. Challenge us, change us, motivate us, stir us, do inside of us, God, whatever needs to be done. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, that our gathering tonight will not be in vain, but I pray, God, we gain much victory as a result of just being here amongst the people of God, but more than that, in your presence. And for that, God, we'll thank you. Then, God, if there's anything else, meet that need as well. For us, your son's name we pray, Jesus, amen. Amen. May be seated. Approved weapons. Approved weapons. We see here that David has already talked with King Saul and has told Saul, "Man, I faced a bear. I've faced a lion." And of course, at first, Saul was like, "Man, you're just a young boy. How in the world are you going to deal with this big giant, this big Goliath that you've got to face? There's no way that you're going to win." But when David explains to him how God helped him, then Saul says, "Well, then you go ahead on then, boy. You go ahead on with your bad self, amen." But guess what, my dear friends? We have folks that will try to discourage us from fighting the good fight of faith. But hallelujah, we thank God for his word, which encourages us to continue to go forward. But if we are going to fight, we need to fight with approved weapons. Amen. Approved weapons. It's all like when you get into a boxing match. As I said before, in a boxing match, you can't hit below the belt. Okay, there's certain things you can't do when you're boxing. But now, if you're doing MMA, that's a whole different monster. Amen. And MMA, they kicking, they kneeing, and to me, like, they're just a all-out fight. That's what it looks like to me. I don't know all the rules to the game, but nonetheless, there are things that are approved, and then even there, there's some things that are not approved. And that word approved we're talking about means this: to confirm or sanction formally. That means to confirm or sanction formally. That word weapon means any instrument used in attack or defense in combat, fighting, war, etc. So we need to make sure that we are using approved weapons. We are using approved utensils, so to speak, to fight against the enemy. Now, the first thing we see here, my friends, when it comes to David, is the strange weapons that were given to David. The strange weapons. Look, the Bible says in verse number 38, the Bible says, "And Saul armed David with his armor and put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor." And the Bible says, "And he essayed to go." He began to go. But what's happening here? Well, what happens is we know that David's just a shepherd. So he don't have any armor to fight against a giant like they would normally have in warfare. So what Saul does is he gives him some of his things to give to David. The first thing he gives him is his armor. That word armor here, he armed David with his own armor. That word armor, that means dress or clothe. So he took some of his own clothing and gave them to David. But now hold on. The next thing we see is a helmet of brass. Not necessarily King Saul's helmet. Notice what the Bible says. Watch every word from the Bible. The Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Now you have to catch that. He didn't say it was his helmet, but it was an helmet of brass. Now, if you've ever played football, you know that there's different types of helmets, right? Some guys got little heads, some guys got big heads, amen? You just don't throw a helmet here, just take this. So they, no doubt then, had to get a helmet that would fit David. Now, we don't know how tall David was, or sometimes people try to say, well, David was just a little scrawny something. He was like, the Bible don't say he was scrawny, okay? The Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible does say, though, that Saul had given him, first of all, this is what the Bible says, he had armed David with his armor. Remember that word arm there means his dress, his clothing. Because under your breastplate and so forth, before you put those things on, you have some things under that. So some people think that David might have been even as tall as Saul. I have no idea. But nonetheless, it doesn't say that the clothes were sloppy all over him. They were falling off. That he was walking around like, you know, he was like, you know, it's like Michael putting on his daddy's clothes. The Bible doesn't say that. You know, we'll add those things in there. But the Bible does say this, though. The Bible says he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, watch this. He armed him with a coat of mail. Not the king's coat of mail, but the Bible says a coat of mail. What are you putting on mail for? Good life. Mail can't protect nobody. Isn't that kind of mail, like in the mailbox, amen? The word mail here, my dear friends, coat of mail, means the breastplate. It also not only means a breastplate or like body armor. Like body armor. So now, my dear friend, and it doesn't say it was the king's. So there was some armor that no doubt fitted David. Body armor that fitted David, a helmet that fitted David, but David had on the clothing under that belonged to King Saul. And the Bible says this. The Bible says he put these things on, and the Bible says he girded his sword. That word gird there means to put on a belt that would hold the sword. And then the Bible says he put this girded sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. That word essayed means to begin or make a beginning. He started to go off to fight Goliath. Now watch what happens here. The Bible does not say that as David had this armor on, as he had these weapons, the Bible does not say that David said, you know what, this stuff is too big for me. I can't wear it. There's no way that I can use. I mean, I'm not gonna have any movement. But watch what David actually said from the Word of God. The Bible says this in verse 39. He says, "And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it." That word "proved" means to test or put to the proof. David says, I have not proved these weapons. I've not tested these weapons. It's almost like a gun, my dear friends. Anybody that knows anything about guns, you don't just grab a gun and say, well, I'm going off shooting with this. You got to make sure that thing is cleaned. You got to make sure that you work with pistols and stuff. It ain't like you just grab. You want to make sure you're using your own. Because, my dear friends, somebody else might not take care of it like they're supposed to. And David had not proved these items that he was about to use to go and fight Goliath. He had never used these items whatsoever. And David says in this verse, my friends, I've not tried them. I've not tested them. I've not approved these weapons. And we move, my friend, a lot of times when we fight the enemy, we're fighting with weapons that God has not given us to fight the enemy with. Well, you know what? They did this to me. You know what I'm going to do? Elena, I'm going to get back. I'm going to get even. Wrong weapon. Revenge is not the right weapon to fight back somebody that's hurt you. Well, I'm not going to forgive. I'm going to get angry. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Your tooth coming out today. This is no, no. That's not approved. It's not approved. Now watch this though. We move from the strange weapons, weapons that David says I've not tested, I've not proven them, they're strange to me. Then we move to the sanctioned weapons. Those that have been approved. Those that have been authorized for action. This is David's stuff. The Bible says in verse number 40, and he took, watch it, watch the words, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which had even in a scrip, and his sling, David's, with his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The first thing we see in the sanctioned weapons is, number one, there was no spear, but David's staff. He didn't have a spear, but he had a staff. That word staff there could not could mean the shepherd's staff, but also, though, could mean a rod, either way. Now, the staff that they would use for the sheep would have a hook on it, and it had purposes. For that staff. What they would do, it had two main purposes for the staff. It was used to grab the lamb, but also to guide the lamb, not to beat it. Okay? So sometimes they would grab it by the foot if it was going in the wrong direction. They could grab it to get it back in the right place. Or if it was going off course, sometimes they would take it, the end of it, and they would kind of poke them a little bit to get them get back in line over here. But now also it could have been the rod. Now, the rod's different. Just looking at this, you know this is different, okay? If the wild animals come, we're going to do something with this baby right here. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but also, he used it for them lamb, too, when they was, you know, acting up. That's home of the message. But nonetheless, though, he had a staff, but not a spear. I think that's pretty interesting. But not only that, my dear friend, now somebody said, why do you even have it with them? I don't know. See, to me, it might not have been the one for the sheep. Maybe it was just the one that was the staff to help them to walk. Because if you've done any kind of climbing and mountains and stuff, man, having that helps you. Now, some people, I've been on some of those wilderness trips, and somebody said, well, I don't need those. Because we can only get a set of two. I don't need those. I can. Okay. When we get in them places where it's muddy, and where it's been raining at, man, when you grab them things, because you're going up this way, man, you can plant those things, and they show you how to use them. Man, it makes it so much more easier than you trying to climb up and slipping all over the place. If I've got this, I can push myself up with this right here. It makes it a whole lot better. Now, I don't know if David needed that because he said, well, I want to get there quicker. That's where he's at, amen. He wasn't limping, by the way. But nonetheless, that's what he had. But also, the Bible says this. We see he had no spear but David's staff. But he also had no straight arrows, but five smooth stones. The Bible says in verse number 40, he took his staff in his hand and selected five smooth stones out of the brook. Now, I know there's all kinds of sermons. Well, up them five stones, you know, one was for David, for Goliath, and the other four for the brothers. You know, well, that's some nice preaching. But that's not what the Bible says, okay? The Bible simply says he got five stones out of the brook, and they were smooth stones. And he took those stones, my dear friends, watch this. The Bible says, and he put those, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. So we go, my dear friends, from no straight arrows, but five smooth stones, to no sword, but his sling. No strong quiver, but his scrip. A quiver is used for arrows. I bet, man, The Mockingjay. Yeah, Hunger Games, Mockingjay. We watched that last week. We watched one and two. But because it's been so long since I've seen the first set of Hunger Games, they was free. And so I went ahead and watched those. I've been watching that. Last night, man, I had a time. Last night, my dream. I mean, I had all kinds of fighting. I whooped his folks. But anyhow, so, but in that, but if you know, her favorite weapon to fight with was a bow and arrow. And she would have on her back, she had that, what you would call would be this right here. Where's that here? The bag here, master for the stone. But where's that? The script. Man. Oh, in the Bible. Because I was saying what he didn't have. He didn't have no quiver. Amen. Well, that's what they call the quiver. A quiver is where you put the arrows in. But see, David didn't have no quiver. But what he had was a script. That was like a pouch. They would use that sometimes for carrying food. But David was going to use this for those stones. He put those five stones in there. And watch this, my dear friends. We see he had no straight arrows, but five smooth stones. No sword, but he had his sling. He took his sling. No strong quiver, but he had his scrip. And the Bible says this. Watch this. The Bible says he took his staff in his hand, chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand. He knew how to sling that joker. And he had that with him. Now, think about this. He's going to fight Goliath. We read earlier all the stuff Goliath had on. The armor, the spear that he had, the guy that he had to carry his shield. And here comes David with some stones and a slingshot. Think about that. But the Bible says something to us. The things that we think you'd use for battle is not oftentimes the things that God would use for battle. Stay with me and go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 26. The Bible says this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible said, verse 25, read that one first. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The Bible says, for you see, your calling, brethren, how that not many, didn't say none, but not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things, low things of the world, and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. God takes those things that nobody else would use. Yeah. God takes those persons that nobody would even dream of that will be used by God, and God uses them to shock and to blow the minds of men. Amen. Even the preaching of the word of God. Back up. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness, it's silly, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The Bible goes on to say, my dear friends, and verse number 21, he says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see a man get up to preach, he's ranting and raving and sweating and spitting, and folks are like, good Lord, he don't have, and folks get saved. People get born again. It don't make any sense. One time somebody came here and I was preaching, and said, but why are they yelling at me? I wasn't yelling at nobody. But that's how they felt. You know what? God will take something like preaching. And people get saved by the thousands and the millions. You know what, my friends? God will take those things that don't make sense and use them to win the victory. Well, the Bible says if somebody was to cuss me, I'm going to do what? Y'all don't know? What y'all been doing? Let me ask that question. The Bible says that you bless them, amen? Okay, all right, going to Matthew. I'm trying to get done here. Go to Matthew chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew. Look down at verse number 44. Okay. Now, look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 44, but I say unto you, well, back verse 43, you have heard that it have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that what? Curse you. Do good to them that what? Hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Lord, Lord. Opposite. The world don't understand that. Well, I know how to get things done. Let me go in there. I get it taken care of. Yeah, you may lose your testimony and God will whip you behind too at the same time. Listen, my dear friends, you act like God says that you're not supposed to act as the children of God. Well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to slam. Oh, man, we had a great conversation. I was talking with your cousins and stuff yesterday. Cousin, that's your brother. Amen. I'll be with your brother and your cousin Sue over there. And, man, it was hilarious, the things that you learn by working at fast food places. Oh, man, your brother's, Brandon's girlfriend,
Megan.
She works at the Wendy's over there in Chesterton. Guy calls up, going off. I came in there, got a salad, and the salad was like this, it was like this, and it was like this. Just so happened, she had been the one who'd been running the salad for the last 2 hours. And she said, "You sure?" She said, "Because I'm the one who's been running that line. I've not seen anything like what you're describing." And he said, "Well, I want this." And he was berating her, going off and acting crazy. And she said, "Sir," and she was trying to talk to him. And he was just like this and that and that. And she said, "Well, let me ask you, are you sure it was the Chesterton store?" I said, "No. It was the one in I think it was the Lake Station." So you got the wrong store. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I come in there though and give me another salad? Listen. It's amazing. Sometimes we'll say, "Well, I'm going to get something done. I'm going to get something." Listen, my dear friends, the Bible says there's a right way to fight and there's a wrong way to fight. There's right weapons to use and there are wrong weapons to use. And David says, "Man, I don't know about that stuff that you got, Saul, but I'm going to tell you something. This stuff that I have, I know how it works. I've used it before. I've slain a bear. I've slain a lion. And by the way, that Goliath, he's going down too." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, my dear friends, approved weapons. Now flip back over. We're just about done. First Samuel, we see the sanctioned weapons. There was no spear, but David's staff. No straight arrows, but 5 smooth stones. There was no sword, but a sling. No strong quiver, but his scrip for stones. Watch this. No stubborn attitude, but the Spirit of God. Look what the Bible says back in verse 40. He took his staff in his hand, chose some 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. His attitude was not a stubborn, prideful attitude. How do you know that? Back up in verse number 37. The Bible says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He, the Lord, will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." He had the right attitude. It wasn't a mess up. His spirit was right. When you begin, as we'll see later on, as we go through the scriptures over here, David's spirit, he had confidence. Because look at the Bible, how do you know he had confidence? The Bible says this, he drew near to the Philistine. What do we do when we see our Goliath? Do we draw near or do we go, "By our fish"? Monster the other way! But my dear friends, when you and I have confidence that God's going to help us, if we have confidence that God's walking with us, if we have confidence that our fellowship with God is okay, my dear friends, you can go right in the midst of the enemy's territory without fear, without being ashamed, without being frightened. But I'm going to tell you something. If your fellowship ain't right, it's going to mess with your confidence. It's going to mess with your faith. So I don't know about the preacher. I don't know about it. Listen, when I'm not in the right fellowship of God, I'm going to tell you something. Not that I don't think God is able or that God has the power. I just don't have the confidence. Yeah. It's actually going to work out the way it's supposed to work out. Because my fellowship is not where it needs to be with the Lord. But when me and the Lord are walking in good fellowship, not that God's done anything wrong, but it's about me. If I'm walking with God in right fellowship, I'm like, you know, hey, God's got this thing, man. He has it. Because I've had that communion with God. God has spoken to my heart. He's spoken to my mind. I've seen the victory. I've seen how the enemy's going to go down. But my dear friends, when my fellowship's not right, I'm trying to say, listen, guys, when my fellowship's not right, I don't know. Grace, Lord, mercy, you looked at that much more. Look, you have a little bit more mercy. But my fellowship right, you could be like David, or like my David, like Paul. And Paul says, I'm ready. I'm ready to be offered. My departure is at hand. I'm not fearing. The Holy Spirit is telling me, where I go, they're telling me the death's coming. And Paul says, none of those things move me. But now you don't walk right with the Lord. You'll be wondering how it's going to turn out. But David had the right type of attitude. The Spirit of God was with him. And what we need is God's power. Look what the Bible says over here in Psalm 44 and verse 5. Psalm 44, verse 5. We come down the home stretch. We have already passed third base, but halfway between third base and home plate. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 44 and verse 5. The Bible says this straight from the Word of God. 44, verse 5. Psalm 44, verse 5. The Bible says, through thee, back up, verse 4. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee, talking about God, will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. I'm not looking to material things to bring deliverance in my life. I'm not looking to my bank account. I'm not looking to my job. I'm not looking to my boss. I'm not looking to my car, my house. I'm looking to God to bring me the victory that I long to have. Amen. Most of the time we look at the material things. How much we got? What did he say? Makes a difference with following God. Let me watch. Give me one more verse. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 34. Now we've reached all the way down to home plate. We're about to tag it. This just says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 3. The Bible says this. Watch it now, y'all. Watch it now. I'm going to say for us, for the other folks, but still watch it. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Break it down. That word here, flesh, means human nature and human passions in this verse. For though we walk in this human nature, for though we walk in these passions, we do not war. We do not fight after the flesh. We do not fight after our human nature. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where's that stronghold in our life tonight? He says, listen here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not bodily, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down, the demolition, the destruction of strongholds. That word strongholds means under control of. What has the control of us? Say, I'm trying to will my way through. Keep on, baby. So all you're going to be doing, but no, wait a minute. I think I'm going to word my way through. I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's what I'm going to fight with. I'm going to trust that God's word is true. And I'm going to do what God said do. I'm going to follow his instructions. And I know that I'm going to win the victory. It's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical one. Yeah, but where they at? Where they at? It ain't them. Yeah, but they the one who said it. Well, how should you respond? I'm going to slap somebody. How should you respond? Well, I'm going to let my nature take over for a minute. Did I get forgiveness? Did I get that? Okay. God knows the intentions of our heart. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about approved weapons. I got one question. We're done. One question. But an A, B, C, D, E, F answer. What weapons are we fighting our Goliath with? What weapons are we fighting our Goliath with? Are we fighting with get even? Anger? Cussing? Unforgiveness? Etc.? Or are we choosing the word? What does the word say? I'm going to fight back with the word. I'm not trying to hurt somebody. I'm trying to help somebody, but at the same time, I'm trying to win some victories. What are you saying, preacher? Let's make sure that we're fighting with approved weapons, not unapproved weapons, and we'll win the battle. Father, thank you for your many blessings. And I do pray, God, that the message was at least helpful in some way, whether small or big. But I pray, God, that each of us will ask ourselves individually, what weapons have I been fighting with? What have I been using against the enemy as he has attacked me, as he has approached me? And Father, based upon what you give to us, I pray, God, that we'd follow then the instructions that go along with that. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. Perhaps, God, there's somebody here tonight that wants to say, Lord, thank you for helping me to use the right weapons, the approved weapons. I want to say thank you. I pray, God, they come tonight and simply say thank you. And then perhaps pray for someone else that might be using the wrong, unapproved weapons. I pray, God, for that person who may have been using the wrong weapons, but they will say, Lord, help me to use the right ones, please. I'm just being honest, God, help me so that I can win the victory. Or perhaps, God, there's someone that has some other need, something else that's on their minds and their hearts that they want to bring to the throne of grace, like the Bible teaches us to. I pray, God, they come. Perhaps, God, that some come for whatever other reason. I have no idea. But, God, we've heard the songs, the sermon, and now it is definitely time to respond. For it's your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand.